Father, we give you thanks, Lord, as we stand in your presence today, Lord. We come expectantly to your table. We lift up our pastor to you, and we pray right now, Lord, that you'd move among, upon him and among us in power and might by the power of your Spirit. Lord, as this day is being celebrated throughout the entire world, the day of Pentecost, Lord, where the church was birthed, where the power of God, the fire of God fell, and we pray that we would experience that today to a great degree. Now, Father, we lift up our pastor and we ask, Holy Spirit, that you move upon him and through him and upon us and through us. And not just today, but as we go out those doors. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise and we give you glory and all honor. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen. Amen. Well, over the past few months, if you've been around at all, I'm sure you know by now that we've been talking about getting to know our God. We've seen how important it is for us to get to know him and to get as close to him as we possibly can. Did you ever notice how little toddlers, you know, they like to sit next to you. You know, you get the little kids come up and they don't just sit next to you. They sit all over you, right? You know, there's no inhibition, there's no fear, there's only love there and trust and acceptance. And I think that's exactly what Jesus was talking about when he said, let the little children come to me. You know, he wants us as children of God to just get close to God and be all over him, you know, really just want him. God wants us to, you know, just to be all about him where he becomes the most important thing in our life, the main focus of our life. If I had to describe this desire in one word, this desire, this passion, this hunger to be with someone or to be next to or with somebody in one word, I would maybe use the word treasure. God wants us to know him as our treasure. I remember when I was a kid, I had so many different things I counted as treasures. You would not believe it. I was a saver. I was a collector. I collected and I stored things in neat little boxes. I used to get these really cool cigar boxes from my grandpa. He had a boat harbor and over in Wyandotte on Biddle there, and he sold cigars, and he got all those really cool cardboard cigar boxes with the lids that flipped open. And I used to get them all the time. I'd get, you know, two, three, four a week. So I had all these boxes, and I had them stacked up, and I had all kinds of things stored. I saved, you know, bugs. I saved rocks. I saved bottle caps. I saved matchbook covers. I saved coins and stamps. I saved baseball cards and all the other sports cards and Beatle cards and Civil War cards and Dr. Kildare cards and you name it. I had records and rubber bands and popsicle sticks and holy cards I got from church, little holy cards, and boxes of candy at Halloween. I'd end up with 20 boxes of candy all sorted out and labeled. That was nuts, you know? Those were my treasures. And my treasures were not the same as your treasures. Your treasure was something that you desired, something that was special to you. And I'm sure everybody in here had some special things, some special treasures that were yours, that you would put away somewhere, that you would keep separate, keep special, that you would get to go to, you know, when you had a chance. Our treasure is what we eagerly desire to get hold of, no matter what the cost. And it's what we know that we definitely do not want to lose, and we'll do whatever we have to protect it. That's our treasure. If we believe in our heart that this thing, whatever it may be, will satisfy us, that it will fulfill us, that it will bless us, then that thing becomes our treasure. The problem with all these earthly treasures is that, and we always end up seeing this, is that they end up rotting, rusting, breaking, wearing out. They become outdated. They get lost or stolen. They just don't hit it anymore. And no matter how hard we try to keep all these things together, to keep it perfect, to keep it separate, to keep it special, no matter how hard we try to maintain them or take care of them, these treasures, it seems that the satisfaction that we expected to get from them is either short-lived, lost, or just beyond our reach. It just never seems to fulfill, at least in a lasting way, what we had hoped. Because everything on this earth is constantly deteriorating. One time I was walking through an old graveyard reading tombstones. People had their names engraved on these beautiful markers, these beautiful monuments made of marble and granite, some stone, some steel even. But many of the older ones that I was looking at, some of them dated all the way back into the 1600s. This was on the East Coast. Many of them, you couldn't even read the names anymore. They were lost. And I would imagine that there was nobody around anywhere who knew who those people were anymore. They were long gone, long forgotten. Maybe no relatives, maybe no ancestors, maybe no, or they would have ancestors, no descendants. There comes a point where even we are remembered no more on this earth. Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, he had the means to do or have anything that he wanted. He tried, it says, all of life's pleasures. He took on great projects. He built houses. He built palaces. He built stables. He made parks. He planted gardens. He planted vineyards. He had more gold than Fort Knox. He had tons of silver. He had servants. He had slaves. He had harems. He had livestock, racehorses, power, and fame. He had it all. He literally had it all. He said in Ecclesiastes 2:9, I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what all that I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. When Solomon was getting to the end of his life, he made a statement. He made a declaration that after having seen and done it all, after having experienced anything and everything that his heart could ever have desired, he realized that there was only one thing that was really important. Only one thing that really mattered: to fear God and to obey His commands. To know God. To know God as His treasure. To not run after all these other things, but to see God as His treasure. He realized that was what counted, because that would go on and on and on into eternity. That was something that he could take with him, his relationship with God. It's the only thing that we're going to take with us, our relationship with God. He finally figured out what Jesus would tell us a couple thousand years later. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. They're not getting into heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God wants us to understand what is truly important. He's given us our marching orders to go out and to first, above all else, to seek first His kingdom, and then He will supply all that we need. The Holy Spirit reveals this to us, and we know it's true. When we think about it, when we read God's Word, we know it's true, and yet we still have to care. We still have to concern ourselves to deal with life, with the carnal nature, with our flesh, every day. I hate to say this, but our flesh's priorities, the priorities of this flesh, my flesh, your flesh, the priorities of our flesh are the exact opposite of God's priorities. Our flesh doesn't want to do what God wants to do. Our flesh only wants to do what it wants to do. Now, we live in a wonderful country. We live in an amazing country. We have the highest standard of living that's ever been accomplished for the most people on this earth. We're surrounded by every conceivable product. Our store shelves are filled. Our stores are full. Our online, purchases are, through the roof. Everything that is around us, anything that we could ever want. Every conceivable product to tempt and to tantalize this flesh. We're constantly being told that if we want to be successful, that if we want to be fulfilled, that if we want to be happy, that if we want to have it all, if we want to have it made, that we need to have this product. And if we hurry, we can get two. And that's not all. Maybe three if we get it in today. We can have this thing, that product, that whatever it is, whatever the current trend is. The American dream, to own our own home, to own our own car, to have a bank account, a great job, a wife and two kids, or a husband and two kids, or whatever it is. But should this be our dream as a Christian? Should that be the motivating force in our life as a child of God? Would this be the dream of someone who is being led by the Spirit of God? Would this be the great motivator, the great thing that we should build our whole life on, the American dream, getting, 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 until it's just coming out of our pores? Or can we see beyond the shallow promise of these things and run after what is truly important? Can we make God our treasure instead of all these things, a boatload of things? Because that's what we find ourselves running after, because that's what this flesh wants. Our flesh loves things. We can store them up in little cigar boxes. We can label them. We can save all kinds of things. We can build huge bank accounts. We can build monuments to ourselves. We can set up tombstones. We can pre-plan our funeral and have a great tombstone. We can have a giant house. We can have a giant car. We can have a giant life. But does God want us to run after just things? The only way we're going to be able to increase our passion for Christ is to decrease our passion for the things of this world. Not that there's any problem with any of those things. I want you to have a nice car, a nice home, a nice bank account. So does God. Those are wonderful. But where is our passion? Those are just things necessary to live, to get by, to function. And we should have all those things. But we can't serve those things. They can't become the all-important things of our life. Matthew 6:24 tells us, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." or God in anything else. Money just is there as a substitute for anything, because anything can be bought with money. We've been called to put God first and all those other things somewhere else down on the list. Our problem comes in when we put those other things first before God. And we don't necessarily consciously do that. We would never say to ourselves, well, my bank account is more important than God. My children are more important than God. My job is more important than God. No, we would never say that. And hopefully we never think that. But sometimes that's the way we live. That's the way we act. We have to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. For they're foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. But in 1 Corinthians 2:12 it says, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. God wants us to understand what's important, what He has for us, what He's done for us, what He's doing for us, what He will do for us. That's why He tells us to draw near to Him, to get close to Him, to come into His presence, to spend time with Him. That's important to God. It's important to God that we spend time with Him. So the question is, how important is that to us, spending time with God? Is it something that we treasure? Is having a relationship with God something that we treasure? Do we see it as a priority? Do we see it as a blessing? Do we see it as the essence of life? Do we have a living relationship with God? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Ephesians 5:15 through 17 says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, how many times have we said, I wish I knew what God's will was for my life? Well, I know God's will for my life. And guess what? I know God's will for your life. I do. More than anything else, He wants to become your treasure. Someone that you value more than anyone else, more than anything else in the whole world. He wants to know you and have this intimate relationship with you. That's His will for your life. He wants us to understand that knowing Him is the greatest thing, the most important thing that could ever happen to us. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 through 12, he says, I consider everything a loss compared to, listen to this now, the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. Everything else, that he considers it a loss. In other words, basically it's almost a waste of time to put our focus on that, to desire that so much, to make that our treasure. That's what he's saying. Not that it's a waste of time to pay our bills or to work for a living or to raise our children or those kind of things. That's not a waste of time. But making that our desire above all things, that's what he's saying. There's only one thing that is worthy of becoming our true treasure. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. And having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this. He knows that he hasn't been able to put everything else down all the time below Christ. This is his goal. But he realizes he still hasn't completely conquered his flesh yet. So he says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. He's not claiming perfection. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Paul knew that he didn't have it all together yet. I know that I don't have it all together yet. And I know that you don't have it all together yet. But we can be sure. We can be certain of where we are heading. We can have a direction. We can have a goal. And we can press on towards that goal, towards the mark of our high calling, can't we? Towards that relationship with God where we consider him our treasure. That's what God's looking for. X marks the spot. You ever see those movies where those guys, they become fanatics. They find that treasure map. They go to great lengths. They will do anything to find that treasure. They will kill. They will, rob. They will destroy. They will cross the world to find that treasure. That treasure is important to them, and it's just money. This treasure is greater than any worldly treasure. Somehow we have to be able to make everything else secondary to Christ, even though we still live in this world. That's hard. Nobody said it was going to be easy. In fact, it pretty much seems impossible. Until we remember what Jesus said in Matthew 19:26. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. We still have to work. We still have to raise our kids, cut the grass, fill the car with gas, pay the bills. We still have to go to school and do all these things. Life goes on. I mean, while we're here, we have our jobs to do. We have to be good people, good citizens. We have to be, good Christians, which means taking care of all of our obligations. So we can't just be one of those people where they say that they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. If you've ever heard that statement, we don't want to be like that. But we do want to have our priorities right. That God is our treasure. The real, the one and only treasure. Let me ask you this. When all your duties, when all your obligations are done, what is it that you think about? When everything's taken care of, where does our mind wander to? Where does our mind go to? Do we get anxious? Do we start to worry about our needs, our desires? Do we dwell on self-care, on self-preservation, on selfish ambitions, all the things we want? Or do we begin to think about God? Do we begin to see the beauty of God, the glory of God, to begin to put our trust and our hope in him? Do we begin to get our joy from him and our peace from him? See, there's a huge difference. One focuses on the flesh, and the other focuses on God. If we focus on the flesh, we'll never be happy. Never. I shouldn't say never. We can be happy temporarily, but it will always go away. We focus on God, then the joy begins to come in because that's a fruit of the Spirit. And we have this deeper joy that goes beyond simple happiness. So we don't want to get anxious. We don't want to worry. We don't want to worry about all these desires and dwell on all these things for ourselves, for this flesh. Matthew 6:25 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life?" See, this is not cutting down, taking care of business every day. This is talking about worrying about it. Being anxious about it, fretting about it, putting all our thoughts on worrying about it. And why do we worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon, the guy we talked about earlier who had everything, in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, those who don't have a God to trust in, those who don't have a God to treasure, those people, those pagans, they will run after these things. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows that we have to have stuff. But seek first the kingdom and its righteousness and His righteousness. And then all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And isn't that true? We need to always remember that if we love God and are walking in His purpose for our life, then He's going to be working out all things to the good. It's what it tells us in Romans chapter 8. It's when we put all our energy and all our focus on feeding this carnal, fleshly nature, that's when we need to begin to worry. That's why God wants us to put all that time and energy that we would have spent on worrying into worshiping instead, into getting to know Him, into trusting Him. As we begin to walk in His purpose and worship Him and make Him our treasure, that's where the blessings then begin to flow. That's where we begin to see the Word of God come true in our life. You know, in the Bible, it talks about, there's a whole huge section in the Old Testament that talks about blessings and curses. The good things that can happen and the bad things that can happen. And the good things happen when we are close to God and obey Him. The bad things happen when we don't care about God and we just do it for ourselves. The blessings are there for us. If we walk the right way, God wants to bless us. He wants us to have an abundant life. He wants us to be filled to the full and overflowing. That's what God wants for us. He really does. He loves to bless His people just as you love to bless your children. Just as you hope your children are successful, and don't we all want that? Is there any parents in here that hopes their children are failures? Anybody? I can't imagine that. Yeah, I want my child to fail. I want them to, you know, lose their home. I want them to, you know, fall apart. I want their life to be a disaster. No, nobody would say that. And neither would God. God wants you to be successful. He wants you to be top of your class. He wants you to be the best in your business. He wants you to have the best of everything. He wants all that for you. But not at the expense of his relationship with you. If that's the problem, if we put all our energy into that, he'll take it away until we turn back to him. Until he becomes our treasure. When we run after the things instead of God, he'll just keep taking them away. It says we'll put money in our pocket just like if there was a hole in it. And we'll just never get ahead. Until we put God first. And even if we do get ahead, we think we get ahead, it only brings us grief without God's blessing. So I can tell you, it's not going to be easy. Even if we do everything right. You know, Jesus did everything right, didn't he? He definitely trusted his Father. He knew his Father's will. He was close to him. He was really close to him. His Father was his treasure. And he was obedient until the very end. And even though it was so very, very hard what he went through, it seemed like it was a bad thing. In the end, it really wasn't. Because the greatest good came from that great hardship. When we go through hardships and we think maybe God isn't there, we need to start looking and expecting a greater good to come from it. Because that's how God works. Philippians chapter 2 verse 9 says, therefore God exalted him. This is what happened to Jesus after he went through this terrible time. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. God is working in you. God's power is in you. God wants to work in you. God wants to work in us. He helps us to deal with these things. When we go through these hard times, God is saying, don't worry, I'm going to be right there next to you. Even when we think we're doing it all right and we still go through this thing, we go, man, I'm doing the right thing. Why do I have to still go through this? And sometimes we feel like that. And I know Jesus felt like that. Father, if there's any other way, please, God, is there some other way? No, there wasn't. Unfortunately, there wasn't. And sometimes for us, we have to go through here to get here. And sometimes there just isn't another way. And this is where trust comes in. This is where faith comes in. Faith isn't built. It isn't of any, you know, there's no faith when things are going great. Anybody can trust God when everything's going wonderful. Faith is for when things are not going so good. When we can't see God, but we still have faith in the things that we can't see. That's where faith is. That's where trust is. And that's what God wants from us. Imagine if Jesus hadn't made his Father his treasure. What if he didn't? What if he just loved God and you know, he really cared about God and he did the best he could do for the most part, but he wasn't really his treasure? We would have lost out terribly. No forgiveness of sin, no resurrection, no salvation, no eternity in heaven. What if Jesus decided instead, I want the Jerusalem dream. I want to have a house, settle down, I want to get married, I'm going to have kids, I want to go fishing, I want to go camping, I want to go hunting, I want to build a house and have a garden. I want to be able to work in my garden and not sweat blood? What if he felt like that? And that could be his treasure. And he said, well, I still love God. I still love my Father. I still worship Him. But, I'm going to put this first. I've got to put myself first. And then everything else I have left over, I'll give to God. We still would have lost everything. Everything. Could you blame him if he did that? I couldn't. I don't know that I would have done what he did. I don't know if I could have. Do you know that you could have? Could we blame him? Thank God it didn't happen that way, because he knew, he understood what the greatest treasure was. The Father. Knowing God. Loving God. Making God our treasure. Obeying his Father in heaven. He knew that every time he prayed, every time he fellowshiped with the Father, every time he was led by the Holy Spirit, every time he obeyed his Father's will, he was storing up treasure in heaven. And that's what we're doing. Every time we do something for the love of God, every time we put aside our flesh and we say, you know what, I know I'd like to do this, but instead, I'm going to do what I know God wants me to do. We're storing up treasure in heaven. Every time we get up and we say, you know what, I'm going to serve my God today. God, use me as you will today. We're storing up treasure in heaven. Every time when we do that job, that ministry that God has called us to do, whatever it is, every time we serve him and obey him, we're storing up treasure in heaven. If I could have the prayer team come forward. I just want you to consider today, ask yourself, what is my treasure? What do I value above all else in this world? We're told to examine ourselves, to test ourselves, to see whether we really are in the faith, to make the most of every opportunity to really step out for God, to make him our treasure. I was thinking about this, like I mentioned, what if Jesus had decided to live the dream life of the Jews and just, like I said, have a house, go to temple, do all those things, be a great guy, be a wonderful guy, be a God-loving, God-fearing guy, but just never really put his Father first and then serve himself instead. Look at what we would have lost out. And so then I started thinking, what happens when we don't make God our treasure, when we don't put God first above our fears, above our doubts, above our worries, above our hungers and thirsts and our, you know, our quests? When we don't put God first, who loses out? Not just us, but those around us. Our family, our friends, maybe that person that we were sitting next to in a waiting room, maybe that person we were standing next to in line, that person that we were working with when we didn't put God first and they saw us running after things instead of running after God, then they never saw God in us the way God wanted them to. There's a lot to lose when we don't make God our treasure. But there's a lot to gain when we do. When we do make God our treasure, we get it all. We get it all. Because not only do we get God, but then he says he'll give us everything else. Everything else. More than we could ask or imagine. We run after things ourselves and we only get this little bit that we scrape together and it doesn't even bless us. But we run after God, we get him and everything else. Think about that. God's ways are beyond our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. Sometimes it just doesn't comprehend. It doesn't seem like it makes sense. But I'm telling you, it does. When we run after God, that's when the blessings begin to flow. That's where we're going to get blessed. So we want to make God our treasure. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much, Lord God. We thank you that you are a treasure worthy of seeking, worthy of running after. We thank you that you have made yourself available to us to find, to seek. Lord, that you have opened up the pathway, that you've torn the veil, that you've opened up the throne room, that you've opened up the Holy of Holies, that we could enter in and come to you. Lord, help us to put aside this flesh. Help us to put aside this carnal nature and to recognize, to understand, to realize how important it is to make you our treasure. Help us to do that, Lord God, to make you our treasure, to run after you. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Have a great day. Have a great Memorial Day. We're having a Melvindale Memorial Service. If you're not doing anything else tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, I'll be over there opening up in prayer if you want to join us. And have a great weekend. God bless you. Thanks for coming out. God who